Dr. Kristen Oja here, entrepreneur and functional medicine expert. Welcome to Little By Podcast, where our goal is to empower you to achieve optimal health, one step and one episode at a time. Taking a functional medicine approach, we'll cover a variety of health and wellness topics, from how to optimize performance to how to balance your hormones and everything in between. This podcast is for educational purposes only, so please be sure to consult your healthcare provider before incorporating any changes into your daily routine. Now grab your headphones and let's go for a walk as we take steps towards becoming your best self. This episode is with Megan Broadhead, affectionately known as Meg. She's a seasoned, licensed psychotherapist and a spiritual companion and coach. She is juggling a lot, from being a wife to a mother to three young children, all under the age of five. She's also the visionary behind the Wonder Haven, which is a comprehensive psychotherapy practice and engage premarital counseling here in Atlanta. And she has over a decade of guiding hundreds of individuals on their journey to greater mental and spiritual health. And this is what got her very passionate on the spiritual side. She talks about how we're living in a time frame where 70% of Americans identify as spiritual beings. And there's a rapidly growing movement that embraces spiritual health or soul health alongside the body and mind. And it's really exciting. And Meg is really at the front of this movement. Her role is to really help guide individuals in letting go of what no longer serves them, whether it's old beliefs, patterns, stories about who they are, and to really heal from their past so that they can embrace their own incredible divine power. Meg loves helping individuals create purposeful, present lives built on a strong foundation of daily spiritual practices. And this is really where her tagline, "Make It Woo Woo," came from. She uses a variety of avenues, psychotherapy, individual and group coaching, and her newest offering that I'm super excited about, called Soully, is a virtual spiritual community. And Meg extends her support to individuals around the globe to really foster growth and transformation on a profound level. I am certain you guys are going to love this episode. Let me know what you think. Check out her website and make sure to join her Soully waitlist in the show notes. I'm so happy you're here, Megan.
I'm so happy to be here.
This is our first time on the podcast really getting into spiritual health. Mm-hmm. And Megan was just telling me she got back from this solo retreat that sounds incredible. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your experience with the solo retreat before we like get into all of the good spiritual health stuff we're going to talk about today.
Totally. So I have been so fortunate in my life to have teachers who inspire me and kind of light the way. And so this was an experience that I signed up for 2 days in Ojai, California, and it was beautiful and just really got to sit with one of my teachers. And there were 12 of us in a circle, just sort of sharing space together and asking questions and going to the depths. And it was beautiful. It's one of the things I've learned on my path so far is that I need to get away in order to connect. And so it was all of that and more. It was awesome. So you're getting me off of this experience that was really incredible.
We're getting this little like spiritual high. So yeah. Megan has 3 kids, like, and you have a counseling practice. Megan is incredibly, I don't like to use the word busy, but you have a lot on your plate. So I love hearing that she took the time to like leave and pour into your spiritual health, which is, again, what we're gonna be talking about in this episode. So I wanted, like, when you think of the term spiritual health, like, what comes to mind? Like, how can our listeners even just like ask themselves questions of like what spiritually healthy looks like?
Yeah. I think just to kind of expound on what we were just talking about, it's retreat. And retreat can look so differently. It can be a 3-4 week long retreat somewhere on the other side of the country, or it can literally be 5 minutes a day. Like, it's just a retreating from the noise, the busyness, and meeting yourself. And for me, that's absolutely mandatory.
Yes.
and a massive part of spiritual health. I think another part of spiritual health for me is the ability to wonder. it's part of why I named my counseling practice the Wonder Haven, because I wanted to create a haven for wondering. To me, part of spiritual health is just cultivating that curiosity about myself, about others, about the divine, whatever you call it, whatever your language is. It's just cultivating that curiosity and that wonder. I think spiritual health is about openness. So we can ask ourselves, like, how open am I right now? Am I going into this situation, this relationship, with an idea of what it should look like, or what that person should do, or this preconceived idea? Or can I be open to the magic? Can I be open to learning something? To me, that's huge, huge part of spiritual health. Another piece is community. It's like, where are the others who are doing this with me? Who can join me on this path? And also, I think, you know, spiritual health is also, has this mutual responsibility. So we are responsible for each other. We are connected. And so, yeah, those are just a few things.
It's really interesting to me just even thinking of spiritual health and, you know, putting health next to our spirit, you know, because I think with the mind, with the body, there's data points, there's brain scans we can do, there's a lab test, there's, you know, there's something objective you can pull in. And spiritual health is so, I'm trying to think of what the right word is. It's not like fluid, but there's no objective measurement. Yeah. So for somebody like me in functional medicine, you know, even when I sit here, because I believe in the mind, body, spirit, that's our logo actually in the center is mind, body, spirit, and space, that there's room for improvement in us all on every one of those. But it's a very hard thing to check in on, like, how are you doing spiritually? Like, what does that feel like? What does that look like? Have you even asked these questions?
Yep.
To yourself. Do you, when people describe people's energy, so like I hear this a lot, right? Like I can feel your energy when you're in the room, or the energy this person gave me just like didn't mesh with mine. Would you use the word energy and spirituality? Like, is that simultaneously part of the same triangle, or are these like different things?
I do use those in the same kind of triangle. And actually, I love what you're bringing up, but there is some data now that's available to us. There's a, are you familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Yes.
Okay, so he's providing us, and there's others too. He's just the one I'm reading right now, but he's providing us with a lot of data and research around the benefits of mindfulness, meditation, the effects on the brain and the body and all of this. And so we are starting, it's really, really exciting. We're starting to get some of that research to support, you know, practices of spirituality, and they can look so different.
So, cause I wonder, cause you were mentioning the research we're having around meditation and like some of these biomarkers. But I think my question around spiritual health is, can we use things like cortisol levels, our stress hormone, our heart rate variability, the depths of our sleep? Like, can we use these objective markers to measure our spiritual health? Or could you be spiritually unwell and physiologically balanced? I think that's my question around this subjective spiritual health is the data that's around, because we do have a lot more data coming out, meditation, the importance of checking in with ourselves, centering ourselves, the deep breathing. But I just wonder, is it possible to be physiologically balanced based on these biomarkers, but be still very spiritually unwell? And I think that's where there's a lot of gray space when it comes to something like our spirit, something that is very subjective and different from person to person. So you mentioned like spiritually healthy. I love the thought of just retreating. Like I think that if we don't spend any time with ourselves, I think it's, I would imagine, impossible to have a healthy spirit, right? The checking in, you know, that retreating. So I love that. I love the community, because I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast and you probably know this study, but the longest one that was done by Harvard over 100 years, the biggest tool of longevity was happiness and community connection. So it's like, how can we only focus on the mind and the body if this connection is intricately connected to longevity? But what does the opposite look like? What does being spiritually unwell?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel it looks like sort of, it can look like many things, person to person, but what I've seen in my life and in my work with others is just sort of this never ending striving. And it's not like I can be better. I want to be better. It's like, I am not okay as I am at my core. And so it's just this never ending striving for more, for more, for more, and this deep unrest within oneself. That's one. Another sign, I would say, of sort of spiritual unhealth would be, I see it a lot, like absolutes. So it's like, it must be this way or that way. This is right. This is wrong. This is absolutely right. This is absolutely wrong. Or I'm in and you're out. Those tend to be troublesome for people and problematic. I would also say like a sense of dependence. So any system that fosters a sense of dependence on the system for answers is that it's unhealthy, because it doesn't empower individuals to look within themselves. And I love that you brought up the mind, body, soul and the space there, because to me, spirituality is the soul, the core of oneself. And so it's really looking at the soul, and that can be nurtured in so many different ways. And so a system to me that really encourages dependence on it is problematic.
I think that those three examples you gave are just mm-hmm. fantastic. And I can relate to like every single one of those when I do feel spiritually imbalanced, right? It's this looking either for, and you mentioned this earlier, expecting someone to say something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to meet with this person. I'm expecting how this conversation is going to go. And they don't say the words that you want to hear, mm-hmm. right? Or the not retreating and taking time to check in on your present health because we're so busy chasing future things.
Right.
I think that's one that I can really, really resonate with. Mm-hmm. And I have to intentionally remind myself every single morning, like to check in. How are you feeling? Totally. How are you doing today? Mm-hmm. Right now, mm-hmm. because I am that person that is so, and I'm interested in your experience with some of the spiritual work that you're doing and passionate about is like how much personality can play a role. Because mm-hmm. I just had my entrepreneur retreat this last weekend mm-hmm. and I was talking with the group, and every one of us in the room that's an entrepreneur, we're all future oriented. We spend virtually 0 to 5% of our time thinking about the past.
Yeah.
Where you could be in a room of people that are dwelling on the past, right? And so when we were kind of talking through this of like, okay, past is probably more of like a depression or regret.
Yeah.
Future is more of like an anxiety and an unwell. Mm-hmm. And then the present is like really what you're aiming for. Mm-hmm. Is the answer just constant checking in? Like, is that?
Yeah, I know. I love this because I was thinking about this talk and I just kept coming back to stillness, presence. I mean, it's everything that is. There is everything in this moment right now.
Exactly.
Everything is happening right now. And when we can really be attuned to that, there is so much for us. There is peace. There is everything we need, you know?
That is just so powerful and so simple. Mm. And that was one of the first things Megan said when we just got together today. She was like, I just realized how simple things can be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We really make things difficult on ourselves.
We do,
you
right?
Know? Yeah. Like, it's like what I'm learning, you know, even just creatively is just, what do I want to create? What do I want to make? And not getting so caught up in, well, what could this turn into? What could this be? What could it look like in 5 years? What could it look like in 10 years? Or, well, what did I do in the past? And how did that turn out? How did that fail or succeed, failure or success, like whatever that even means. And I'm really being sort of encouraged to move from a place of now, like what's just pouring out of me right now that wants to be shared and created.
And I feel like as we're talking about this and really breaking it down into past, future, and present, if you don't spend time in the present, you will feel an imbalanced emotion, right? You'll feel, even if it's to a low degree, right? It's an anticipation for the future that could turn into an anxiety, right? Or it's a, I should have, and I didn't, that could turn into a depression and regret, right? Like it's, I just imagine this continuum that like, if you were stepping away from the present, which I know has to happen at times, like I think for me, I have to strategically think about what's going on this quarter. And, but I also—
That's intention. Like you're being intentional, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also this, how, so give some examples. I think what I'm curious for myself, besides like my morning check-in is like, what are ways that you yourself or the people that you're working with, like, how do you remind yourself to like come back to the present? Because our mind wanders, which is not always bad, but like, what are those, what are the cues? What are the tips? Like,
It's for me, it's establishing rhythms in my everyday. And so one rhythm that we take so for granted is just our breath. So it's like, it can be as simple as let me just take three deep breaths or let me do some box breathing, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. You know, it could be four counts in, hold four counts out, hold. It can be so simple as just let me pause. It can be turning off all the noise, turning off the music, turning off the podcast, turning up, you know, it's like, it can be for 5 minutes and just having some silence on your walk. What I do, because like you mentioned, I have a, I'm in a really full phase of life right now. And so I will wake up in the morning, make my coffee and sit in my chair and set a timer for, depending how much time I have, it's usually 5, 7, or like 9 minutes. And I'll just sit before I have my coffee. I'll just sit in silence. And it's amazing what can happen in 5, 7, 9 minutes. When, as you're building this muscle of presence and mindfulness, meditation, it's literally like a 7 minute meditation is what I do. And it really shifts everything for me. And I can go back to that throughout the day. I know then it's a muscle I've built. So I know how to pause, when I feel something coming up, attunement to your body. I mean, I do this with my clients all the time. When I notice myself getting antsy in session, as the therapist or spiritual coach or whatever I am in that moment, it's usually because we're talking too much. Usually because we're not being attuned to what's happening right now in the body. The body is an amazing, amazing tool, vessel to be able to pay attention to what's happening right now. So if someone, you know, if you're twitching your foot or feeling a tightness in your neck, like what's that telling me right now? And really just using that curiosity, being curious with oneself in the moment, there are just a million ways we can pause. It's really, really just about the pause, you know? And I used to think this had to happen in the perfect setup. Like I had to have, I used to think I had to have a meditation room in my home, which would be lovely. I would still love to have that, you know, but now it's just a chair in the corner. It doesn't have to have, you know, we create these obstacles sometimes. And I've just gotten so attuned to what's the obstacle here. You know, I have 3 kids under 5. It's a loud house, right? Like there's not a lot of quiet and I can still run upstairs for a minute and breathe and then come back down. Or I can do that amidst all the noise too and just kind of go into myself for a minute. And my kids know by now, they know what I'm doing. and then that gives them permission to do it too, you know?
I just love, and you mentioned it's a muscle. And that is, as you were talking, exactly what I was thinking about is there's been phases of my life that have been incredibly difficult to do nothing and to be still. Right? Like there's been, but I have to do X, Y, and Z. And this, again, kind of fear of, well, what if I don't? Or this like antsiness of, well, what if I just sit? And then you have to remind yourself, like, this is 10 minutes. Like, yeah, this is 10 minutes. But I challenge all of you guys listening, if you've not spent time not doing anything, that's like not scrolling on your phone, not having the TV on, not, as you mentioned, the music and the podcast, like, even if it's a minute, it truly is an exercise and a muscle you have to build. Our world does not present this easily. Like it's not naturally occurring in our life if we don't intentionally do it. And I think that's what is very interesting to me around all of this, right? It's like one of the most important things for our mental health and our physical health. Mm-hmm. Yet we have to eat to survive, mm-hmm. right? We have mm-hmm. to drink water to survive. Mm-hmm. Most of us talk about like, okay, I should exercise to stay strong and maintain muscle. Mm-hmm. But like how many of us are checking in on like, how often are you doing nothing?
Right.
And checking in with yourself. Like,
Right. It's gotten to the point where I've had to really, I mean, we all have to prioritize our time. And so the morning, there's only a limited amount of time before everyone's up and we're all off to school, to work. And so some mornings it's like, yeah, I can't exercise this morning because I have to sit. Like it's sometimes it is choosing between something that's good for us and something that's good for us, you know?
Right. It is. And for me, one of the big things was just having a time at the end of my day where like, I just turn things off.
Yeah.
Like I just, and my husband and I have really worked on being present with each other in this time too. Like even if it's not in communication, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting when you think about spiritual health, also being community and connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is giving permission for like silence mm-hmm. in that relationship in the space. And that's where I feel a lot of that energy is actually when you're not talking mm-hmm. and you're just there mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. each other.
Yep. Yep.
Like it's.
Yep. We're so energetically connected to everything, people, every being. And we cannot notice that connection unless we're still. We really just can't. That's part of the make it woo woo is really just a mindful attunement to what is happening right in front of you right now and letting yourself, it's kind of funny because there's really no making anything happen. It's really just making yourself sit, you know, and be open to what is there for you, you know?
I wonder how much, because I think for me, the reason it's hard is time constraints, but I can think for some people it's hard because of where they're at with themselves, right? Like mm-hmm. I can imagine it would be hard for someone that is in a place of maybe, you know, shame, regret, you know, like
grief,
the silence, the grief, mm-hmm. like sitting alone could be harder mm-hmm. in silence than doing.
Yeah. And it is. We have so many things that we do. We busy ourselves to keep us from our depths, you know? And, what I would say to that and what I do in my work with people is join them in the depths. Because what I've seen time and time again is that it's the only way through, you know? It's the only way through. And on the other side is lightness again, you know? It's like you have to go into the depths to get back to the light.
Well, and I think about the book, Your Body Keeps Score.
Yeah.
And how intricately that's connected to what we're talking about is if we distract ourselves and we don't check in, how is that, whether you call it energy, whether you call it grief, whether you call it, you know, a traumatic experience, whatever it may be, if we're not sitting with it and checking in on how we're processing things, like how is that presenting itself in other ways in our relationships, in our pelvic floor, in our blood pressure, in our heart rate, and mm-hmm. And I think this is where in functional medicine, you get to a place where it's like, we know there is nothing more we can do until, you know, the spiritual or the soulful mm-hmm. work is done, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. that's tough because the person has to believe that too.
Yep. Totally. Well, it's like when I first started seeing you years ago, it was because of infertility, you know, and I had done so much, conventional medicine wise, and then functional medicine. And there really was, when people ask me how did this happen? How do you have three kids after years of infertility? I mean, the number one thing I know is that there was a spiritual health, there was a spiritual component to my kids coming here. You know, it was just, I had to work some things out. I had a deep distrust of what I call God, the divine, and myself and the world. And I had to work that stuff out before, I believe, before they could come.
Are you comfortable sharing some of the things that you did to work through that? Like, what did that look like for
you? Yeah, totally. So for me, it looked like therapy, my own therapy with someone who was attuned to spiritual matters. It looked like Reiki or energy healing. It looks like acupuncture, you know, really listening to my body. It looked like breath work for sure. It looked like developing a meditation practice. I mean, I joined this spirituality group right along the same time. It was about 8 years ago. And we committed to meditating every day for 20 minutes. And we'd meet weekly and talk about our experience. And so I knew people were going to be waiting on me to share whether I meditated or not. And like, it was just a great like sort of accountability, you know? And that real, like all of that. And really, it led me to this place of grounded peace. Like no matter what happened, I knew I had me and I'd be okay. And I knew I was also held by something greater. That's my belief. And I had to get to that space. I really believe I had to before I could experience motherhood in this way.
Where do you think in the spiritual health, like where does control fit in?
Yeah.
Like, I know this is like a very, because I think this is the interesting thing in functional medicine and fertility. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things in life that you can't control.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is just, I'm not a counselor by any means, but even the spiritual side, like there's this sense of wanting to control our mm-hmm. spiritual health mm-hmm. through all of the things.
Yeah.
But I just am interested in your thoughts on how this like desire for control holds us back in spiritual health.
Yes. Yes. So I believe spiritual health looks like open-handed. It's not a tight closed fist. Like it must be this way. That's the image that always comes to me when I think about this question. And we love control. We love to know that like this equals this equals this. And if I do this, then this is going to happen. And part of my really, it was like an awakening is like, oh, I don't have control, you know? And alongside that is I am held. I am deeply held and supported. And that feels so good for someone who loves control and wants to know how everything is going to turn out. It feels so good to sort of relax into I'm held, and you can call it whatever you want. Maybe it's just the natural rhythm of things, or maybe it is God, or maybe it's the universe, or, but to sort of relax into, it's like an exhale. Like I don't have to do all of this. I don't have to keep spinning my wheels, you know, to make things happen. It was really transformational. And I didn't grow up with that. I had to really learn that. I grew up with what most of us grow up with, which is do more, do more, do more, do more. You're not enough as you are. Like you don't have what's in you. You have to find it with outside of you, or you have to. And so this was huge, you know.
That just feels so stressful. Like just hearing that, like it was. You know, it's like it's always. It will never, that mindset of it will never be enough, whether it's like coming from the outside, whether it's coming from internally, like this sense of constantly disappointing yourself or others, like this constant rat race. I'm interested as you talk about this, how has it shaped like you as a mom? Like, is there any like tips or tricks for the other parents out there that have kids that want to embody this principle that like you are enough. I look a lot into like the positive parenting and like talking about emotions, but like, is there, what have you found that's helped in your household?
Yeah. So I would say the number one thing that is just doing your own work around knowing your own edges, your own triggers, your own, like knowing all of that so that you can work through it and then show up for your kid in a different way. I love to ask my kids a ton of questions. So my oldest is 5.5, and so he's starting to really talk about some pretty heavy things like death. Like I can see some fears coming up in him. And so I love to go to the place of, what do you think? Like, what do you think happens? Where'd you come from? You know, like just some really fun questions, open questions to see what they come up with. I mean, they usually kids are more connected than we are.
Isn't that so?
I look at my kids as little teachers, you know? And so I just try to get really curious. Obviously I have my moments too. We all do, but I try to get curious with them. And that's what I really want them, you know, we have to teach them some things about what we can. I guess we have the choice to teach them some things about God, about spirit, some concrete things. And what I really want my kids to take away is just, you get to question, you get to wonder, you get to be curious. That's a big piece of it.
Well, and open-ended questions encourages that, right?
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of the positive parenting that I've tried. And it's always so hard to like really try not to even use words that are absolute, right? Like we talked about absolutes earlier, like never do this or never do that. It's like stop that immediately. Like it's like these absolute words that are so like they easily pop up, you know? And it's like, we try not to use those in the house, but like not using those takes so much brain power. But maybe the more I sit in with myself and the more present I am, the more those, and the, it's again, a muscle, right? It's, and parenting for me, mine are 3 and 2 is I'm learning as they're growing, but I love the creating curiosity through open-ended questions.
Yeah.
Open-ended questions right there just took out absolutes. Mm-hmm. It took out, you know, rights and wrongs. It's, open-ended questions. That is a really great thing.
And then they feel super empowered too. Cause it's like, oh, mom's wondering what I think, you know, it's just a sweet thing.
And they have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned this earlier, cause your mantra, make it woo woo, which I love. So I want to know more. You kind of touched on this a little bit, but like really what it means for you. And if there's anything, as we kind of like wrap up this episode of like daily check-ins or tips to kind of help people bring the woo-woo into their own life.
Yeah, totally. So make it woo-woo. Like I mentioned, to me, it is just this invitation to a mindful attunement to what's happening right now in the moment. So, and again, it's actually not like you're making anything happen. It's already happening. So you're just making yourself available to it. So like an example of this would be the carpool pickup line. You know, it's like this thing that we do every day. But have you ever just looked around and noticed that we're all just chugging along towards the most important little people in our lives, and that they came here to be with us, and that we are a unit, and that they show us God or spirit or the divine, and we show them, and we're just doing this together. It's like the most magical thing. It can quickly turn into the most annoying thing, but make it woo-woo is like carpool, but make it meaningful, like open to what is right in front of you. It can be, you know, your morning walk, but make it woo-woo. It's like, maybe you are quiet and just paying attention, and maybe a hawk shows up, or this happened to me the other day, a bunny rabbit ran in front of me. And it's like, make it woo-woo, or mindful attunement is about noticing that stuff. And it's like, oh, I wonder what the bunny's here to show me. You know, it's just really a curiosity, a paying attention to. And really, like, I feel like this is my life's work, to really empower people that you are sacred. You are a sacred self, and you are so equipped to show up and notice what's happening around you. and it's a really beautiful thing that came out of a ton of experiences of being told otherwise, and they were all just doing the best they could, you know, but like it's true.
Well, this mindset shift, like, again, going back to my 3 and 2-year-old, like I think about the other day when I was driving, both of them were in their car seats and they were both like screaming and crying. But I sat there and immediately my thought, instead of like, I wish you would stop, was, I'm not going to hear this sound forever.
Like, yeah, totally.
I have these two beautiful, sweet little girls behind me that do not want to be in their car seat because they want to run wild, just like I do. Like, I would love to run wild and not be buckled up driving in this traffic,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
But it was just this like sense of, this time is going so fast. And I just think about that, like with the make it woo woo, is it's like, that's not a glamorous time, right? You're stuck in traffic and your kids are screaming.
Right.
You mentioned carpool, right? Like all these things, like it doesn't have to be glamorous to have this moment. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. I like really resonate with that. Make it woo woo.
And that's, you touched on one of the tips I was going to share, which is your triggers are gifts. Yes. They are just mirroring something back to you, which is in you that might need healing. You know, it's like the part of you that was like, yeah, I don't want to be sitting here either. There's a part of me that's screaming inside. Like, right. I don't want to be doing this either. Oh, interesting. You know? And so, that's one of the tips that I think is.
I love your triggers or your gifts.
Yeah.
Like that is great.
Yep. It really is so much more empowering than stop triggering me. You over there, stop triggering me. It's like, oh, okay, let me take a breath and let me get curious within myself. What's this about for me? What are they reflecting back to me about me?
Opportunity to also become. Like it's an improvement, right?
Yeah.
It's a positive personal growth that can happen through that. That is a gift. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that. Is there any other kind of tips that you have? I'm sure we're going to have a ton of listeners that are really, really interested in the spiritual health. And I'm going to put your new website that is just getting launched in the show notes. But anything else, like if somebody is interested in maybe exploring this, like is there any tools, any books, any podcasts, any like resources that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah. So in the energy of what we were talking about before we even started, simplicity, I would first say there's so many resources. This is actually a really expanding field right now. So there's so many resources available. But the simplest thing is the stillness that we talked about. And that can literally be 3 minutes. It can be 3 minutes in the morning. Just some quiet space. That's the first thing I would start with. It's really, really the simplest. And community is the other. So I'd recommend spaces where you can talk through this stuff, where you can be with other people who are experiencing something similar, something totally different, but offers you some wisdom. One of the things I'm really excited about is a community experience that I'm starting called Souly, S-O-U-L-Y.
I love that.
Yeah, what I found is like this community already exists of seekers, of meaning makers, of people who want to pay attention more, you know? And so I really want to provide a space for people to do that with each other. And so this could be, who knows? I mean, you might be in that space for 3 months. You might be in that space for 3 years. Any of it's fine, but it's like, we all need each other.
Is that going to be an in-person group? Is it virtual? Is it a platform?
Yeah, it's going to be virtual. Mostly it's going to be like a at least monthly kind of group gathering virtual. I would love to have an in-person component. Still sort of figuring that out. And then there's going to be some weekly check-ins from me available and just probably like a Voxer community support. So people can, you know, ask questions, share things over the weeks. I'm really excited about it because it already exists. We just need, and it's a lot of people leaving who have left a certain religious space that doesn't fit anymore. They don't fit in and we need a place.
Yes. You know? I'm so excited. I'll link. Are you going to have a website for that separate?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It'll be on there.
Okay. Yep. I'll put that on there too. Cool. Well, I really appreciate you being on here. It's really, really great reminders for our listeners of the importance of looking for answers internally first. Like that in this
stillness. You have
stillness.
Everything you need. I mean, you really do. Like what you need is just someone to help you see that, you know?
This is a very, very powerful episode. So I really appreciate you being on here and make sure to check out her new practice. Thank you, Megan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. And as always, remember, little by little, a little becomes a lot. Even the smallest changes over time can lead to total mind and body transformation. I'd love for you to stay connected with @DrKristenOja and @StatWellness on Instagram. And if you have any questions, be sure to reach out. I'd love to hear from you.